So we have this task of doing what Jesus was doing, setting stuff right. And Paul told us Jesus set everything right with us and God, but our job is now to like make things right with each other. And we've been talking in Matthew 10, and I know some of y'all have been reading Matthew. I've been seeing Blake post out of Matthew. Jesus looked out and saw the crowds, and his heart was broken. All is not well with the world, which we know. We see it. Jesus was seeing it. And remember we talked about incarnation, how Jesus teaches us what to do because he came and did it. And so we can watch his life and go, oh, that's what we do. So here's Jesus. It's kind of like, what happens when I turn on the news or look on my Facebook or look in the mirror sometimes? When he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest, he said. How few workers. On your knees and pray for the harvest hands. Remember, he said, pray. Get down and pray. Remember this? They're like, okay, yeah. Got down and pray. And he's like, all right, get up. Now go. You're the ones. Remember that? And so then what happened after that? Then what did they do? Because I think we're quite convinced at this time that there's work for us to do. Not just Pastor Keith, not just Christopher Coleman, but there's work for each believer to do in building the kingdom, in setting the things right, in doing the thing. The prayer was no sooner prayed than it was answered because Jesus called them folks that were praying. All right, here we go. Here's what we've got. Jesus called 12 of his followers and sent them into the ripe fields. He gave them power to kick out the evil spirits and to tenderly care for the bruised and hurt lives. I've been keeping that before me these past few weeks. What is there power to do? There is power to drive out evil. And there's power to wrap my arms around the people that are broken. Sometimes those seem equally impossible. And I'll tell you where I feel the impossibility of that. Well, I think it's easy to see why kicking out evil seems impossible. Like that seems pretty hard. But sometimes I even feel inadequate to tenderly care for the bruised and hurt lives. Man, people are so hurt sometimes. Where do you even start? What do you even say? What do you do to begin to heal the wounds that evil, just evil, puts on people? Well, the first thing you remember that you have power to do it. The Holy Spirit is working. The Holy Spirit is empowering your every move, your every word, your every embrace. This is not just you. God of wonders. If you haven't heard Pastor Keith's sermon from last week, go do it. It's just exactly, I think, what we needed to remind us. This isn't just digging in the dirt. This isn't just a hard, impossible task. It is that, but it's not just that. It's empowered by the energy that created the stars. Justice is God's idea. Setting things right is God's idea. Peace and love and respect, those are God's ideas. Just like Peter found himself standing on the water. When we enter in what Jesus is doing, what God's doing, we find ourselves going, how is this even happening? This is impossible. Has the Lord ever dealt with you about your money, about tithing? And when you start to enter into that, miraculous things happen with your money? And you're like, how did I pay that bill? How did I have something at the end of the month to put into savings? How did a need come up and I got to say yes? How? I'll tell you how. It's not because you're super brilliant at math. It's because you entered into what God said and the Spirit was there to meet you. Because what God calls, he's going to empower. He's not going to say, do this impossible thing. Good luck. God's like, I'm calling you into the impossible thing because that's where I am. That's where I am. He's giving you power. So he sends them out. Jesus sent his 12 harvest hands out with this charge. Don't begin by traveling to some far-off place to convert unbelievers. And don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. They had some public, there was the Roman Empire. There was also the Jewish religious institution that was set up that was criticizable. There were some big public institutions that they could have just gone out and like had a rally. I'm not saying don't have a rally. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm saying in the midst of the rallies, in the midst of the voting, in the midst of the bumper stickers, in the midst of that, Jesus is a lot of times at work somewhere else. But it's not always that. Don't begin by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Now, some of y'all, you might have this great big plan and you know exactly what to do and you are just making like an impact on a global level. And if you are, praise the Lord. I'm happy. But if you're like me, I have a hard time knowing where to start. Where to start? I mean, I want to save the world. I want to set the world right. I want to see the kingdom of heaven established right here in Atlanta, Georgia. The issue with that is, where do I start? And sometimes the big dream, the big thing, kind of like paralyzes me into not doing anything. Oh, well, I can't establish God's throne in Atlanta, so, you know, I'm just going to go to bed and cry. I think Jesus knows that. And that's where we see this. Start here. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Tell them there's another way to live. Tell them there are people out there who, just because they're gay, don't want to kick them out of church. That's the thing. We see these things. The media, Lord have mercy on their souls. Yeah, the Nashville statement came out. That's the thing. Did you hear about that? I'm sure you did. I haven't read it all, so I'm not going to comment a lot on it. I'm going to read it today. You know, cry and get real mad. But the thing is, it's not surprising. People that are anti-LGBT saying we're anti-LGBT. Big surprise. One of the things we need to do is make sure there's another voice out there going, hey, okay, focus on the family, don't like you. They never did, and we're here. I wore the shirt today, the Evangelical Network, and it has a big rainbow. Like, there are other people. There are other groups. There's other ideas out there. And that's part of what Jesus said. Find someone who is just really torn up about this and just let them know there's someone else who does like you. There's someone else who does accept you. You are still welcome at the table. Just because this big brother, this big sister is being a real jerk right now doesn't mean you're not welcome. Find those people that don't know that yet. I forget that there are people who don't know that yet. I get real caught up because y'all are my best friends. Y'all are my family. I've never had a family like this right here. Y'all are my heart. But I stay here and I forget. We had dinner with some new people last night, really by chance. They were nice. They were awesome. Loved them. Probably going to be friends with them. But I forget what it's like when people don't know that Jesus loves them. There is some desperation. There is some hopelessness. I forget. We can't forget. We can't not be saying that. We can't not be putting ourselves in front of people that don't know. That's what he's saying. Find the lost, confused people and just tell them, but the kingdom's here. There's another way. And the sooner we all get to work on it, the sooner you'll see it. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring help to the sick. Raise the dead. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You can't do that if you're not there. I'm like stabbing knives into my own heart, just so you know. I can't touch the untouchable if I don't ever see an untouchable. I can't bring life to the dead if I don't get around some dead folks. You have been treated, oh, this hurts. You have been treated generously. So live generously. Had it not been for the grace of God that one day I got on the interwebs and put in Gay Church Atlanta and saw Pastor Keith with his hands raised and saw I think Gloria Torres there with her kids, and I was like, I didn't know any of this stuff existed. Like, gay people have kids, gay people raise their hands. Like, what does this mean? I would have probably been somebody sitting on a committee somewhere writing some hateful stuff. I did not know. I was dead in that area. I was closed in that area. I was sick in that area. I was in bondage in that area. And that's what Jesus is saying. You've been treated generously. God, in his grace, led me somewhere where somebody spoke truth to me. Go somewhere where you can give that truth to somebody else. We've been in bondage in so many ways. And the Lord has freed us in so many ways. And in the ways in which Jesus has been generous to us, we've got to live generously in those areas with other people. Don't be surprised when it's in little small things too. I put here, your life is not just for you. Lloyd is saying it. Your life is not just for you. Your money is not just for you. Everything you have comes from God and is to be used for a purpose. We're stewards. Our bodies, our money, our influence, our words, our relationship, our stuff, our social media. That stuff's not meant to run us. We're meant to run it. I'm not meant to be owned by my possessions. I'm meant to own my possessions and use them to build the kingdom of God. I'm not meant to be a slave to a job just because I'm just struggling and I got to work 20 million hours a week just because I can't pay everything. No. I am meant to leverage that job, leverage those relationships, leverage that money to build the kingdom. Sometimes that means I need to work a little harder and get a little more efficient so it doesn't take me 20 million hours to do my job. That's just me. Sometimes it means I need to go out to eat a few times less a month so that I've got some money to do something with that means something. That's just me. We've got to leverage this stuff to build the kingdom. We cling to things sometimes out of fear. We don't give our money because of fear. And when I give examples, I'm like searching my soul and put, like, I might as well say, Deborah Lynn doesn't give money because of fear. So don't think I'm like pointing at you. I get all my examples from my own self. We don't give vulnerability because of fear. If we're going to go touch the untouchables, bring life to the dead, heal the sick, that takes vulnerability. I think it's going like, I don't know you. I don't know if you're going to like me. I'm going to go to this pastor's lunch, even though I'm really scared you're going to be mean to me. I'm not going to, socialize with people from, church groups I used to, because I'm afraid they're going to be mean to me. When really, if I just put myself there, the Lord might do something, but we don't because of fear. And we need to remember that God's not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us what? Spirit of power and love and a sound mind or self-discipline. That's where that comes in, where I might need to save a few dollars for the end of the month. I might need to save a few hours at the end of my week. This is me, just telling you. We also forget that we are operating from an infinite supply. Oh, you know what my most precious resource is? My energy. I'm an introvert. It doesn't mean I'm shy. I'm an introvert, so being with people zaps my energy. If I have talked to too many people in a day, I'm kind of like, I ain't got it. Buzz off. I need to let the Lord discipline me in that. I need to let the Lord remind me that I am operating from an infinite supply of energy, of time, of money, of every resource that I feel like I've got to hold on to it because it's mine. Don't forget, the Holy Spirit's fueling this thing. He's got an infinite supply of minutes to give me. Ooh, I get selfish. oh, I didn't want to go to that dinner last night because I have not spent any time alone with my wife. And I think 2 weeks, but maybe it's longer than that. I don't know. I didn't want to go. In fact, when the question is, what do you want to do today? I don't care, but I don't want to see any other human but you. Spend half the day with 12 other people. But the Lord empowered it. He's got an infinite number of minutes. He's got an infinite number of dollars. He's got an infinite number of time and energy and anything you need and anything that I feel like I've got to hold on to it because it's mine and there's not enough. When I do that, I've forgotten who's empowering me and I have forgotten that my existence is eternal. If Mother Teresa didn't think her existence was eternal, do you think she would have spent her life doing what she did? No. That's crazy. There is more than this life. Like, I can give myself, I can give my life, I can give my body, I can give my finances, I can give my time, because this isn't it. I don't have to be afraid. I struggle with that. You struggle with that. Man, because I'm like, this is my one life. I got to get it all in. No, I don't. I've got to obey the Lord and let him build his kingdom in my life and join him in building his kingdom around me. And then I'm going to be ready for whatever's next. Ask the Lord. Like, where Jesus, you know, he's broken, he's hurting, he's like, what are we going to do? Well, ask the Lord. Get on your knees, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord what to do. What am I going to do? Where do we go? What's going on? What's the resource? Christopher was saying, you don't just, like, trust God overnight and know exactly what God's saying overnight. Like, oh, yay, I know what to do. You got to put some time in that. If you have a friendship or a relationship, someone can say something. You got to know that person sometimes to know what they actually mean. Right? Like, what's wrong? Nothing. Nothing doesn't always mean nothing. And God's not like that. I'm not saying God's like that. But when you know somebody, it's like, oh, we're in a service, right? And the Lord's been speaking. The Lord's been doing. We've got one text, one sermon, one worship set. You know, there's one thing being said. But to each heart, it's the Lord is saying something different. The Lord's telling you where to get to work, and you where to get to work. And to discern that, it's like nothing doesn't always mean nothing. Well, this doesn't always mean exactly the same for you and you and you and you. But knowing the Lord's, putting time in, meditating on the Word, taking these whatever like notes you've made or whatever scripture we're in, taking it, meditating on it, asking the Lord, where do I fit in this? That takes time sometimes. And it takes trying things out sometimes. It takes failing sometimes to figure out, oh, nope, that wasn't it. That is not what the Lord was saying, and I will learn from that next time. And that's fine. That's great. So again, where do I start? Don't be surprised when your kingdom tasks include dealing with yourself. And it could be in really simple things. I will tell you that the Lord in the past 2 years has dealt with me about my health. And at first it just seemed like, I don't know, something really shallow. You eat too much. I mean, you know, or you spend too much money on food or whatever. Something like that. Or, you know, you really need to take a walk. But when the Lord leads you, there's always more than just that. Right? So like the Lord like spoke to me about a thing. I started doing the thing, and yes, myself is transformed, but also there's things that come off of that. I've met people. I've had conversations. All these things, because when you obey the Lord, he's got more in mind than you think. When the Lord starts dealing with you with your money, your life is going to change because that needs to be in order. But you don't know what's coming down the road. That's going to be an opportunity that the Lord is going to say, and now this is why. The Lord spoke to me into kind of my health journey after I sort of like took the first step. I'm like, okay, I'll sacrifice 30 minutes of TV and go on a walk, you know. The Lord, you know, then kind of let me on. He's like, this isn't just about like you should be in better health, although I should have and should still. But the Lord also revealed where I'm leading you, you are not physically able to do what I'm going to ask you to do. And he could say that about any other thing. And he said it about other things. You are not financially able to do what I'm going to call you to do down the road. Your patience is not to a level for what I'm going to call you to down the road. Your gentleness is not at a level where what I'm going to call you to down the road. So when the Lord starts dealing with you, get to work. It's not just boring, like, I don't know. I used to think holiness was so boring because it just was about, like, I can't cuss, I can't drink, I can't wear pants, you know. It's not that. But in some ways, I have swung to this other level, which is okay. I needed to do that. But now the Lord's teaching me about holiness. Here's the thing about holiness. I'm just going to drop it like a nugget like that, and I'm not going to say much about it. Because a bowl is just a bowl, right? Bowl is a bowl. But when God chooses a bowl to put in the temple, that bowl is holy. Doesn't look any different than any other bowl. Made by a bowl maker, made at the Tupperware, you know, whatever. It's a bowl. Its own essence doesn't make it holy. Two things do, though. Number one, God says it's holy because he said it. He's God. He says it's holy, it's holy. And purpose. He doesn't call things holy just for the heck of it. He calls it holy because he's like, and I'm going to use it for something. There's no good in saying this bowl is holy if it's not going to be used in the temple. That doesn't even make sense. Holiness, or when God starts to deal with our lives, it's because he's got a purpose for it. Holiness is connected to purpose. It's part of what makes something holy. It's because God's got something in mind for it. God's got something in mind for you. So if the Lord is dealing with something that seems really like boring or trivial in your personal life, just talk to the Lord about it. Consider it. Start to do it. What do you have to lose? You're eternal. If you lose 30 minutes because the Lord told you to go for a walk or call somebody, or that's all right. You'll get it back. Try it. Because it's probably intimately connected with a purpose that God has for your life and the thing he's going to use you to do. All right, last thing. Where are those opportunities every day to build the kingdom? Okay, start where I am. My neighborhood, my family, myself. Who are the people I speak to every day? Got something I'd say to the president if I saw him. Okay. Well, what about the people you're actually going to talk to today? If I saw them Nashville people, or if I saw them Charlottesville people, I'd give them a piece of my mind. Okay, good. How about the people you're going to see before you even walk out of your house tomorrow? I got a word for the world, but I ignore my kids in the morning like, I don't talk to me. Bye-bye. Have a good day. Doop-doop. When I could use that 45 seconds to build the kingdom in their hearts. But man, I've got about 2 minutes in the morning. I see them. I could wrap my arms around them, tell them I love them, tell them that the Lord's going to use them. Tell them that they are beautiful and respected. Walking with one eye open to the coffee pot. Have a good day. This is where I am. I'm going, okay, maybe I'll impact the world on a global level, but also maybe I should build the kingdom where I'm at every day. So I'm going to give you that. And I want you to take, and I want you to pray over that. Because maybe the Lord's speaking about some things in yourself. Maybe the Lord's speaking to you about some things in your family. Thanksgiving's coming up. Boy, that was a doozy last year. I want to do a little better with that this year. I want to be a little more intentional with my family. I want to be a little more loving and bold and not scared because I feel like I don't belong. Maybe the Lord's dealing something in your community. And maybe there's something in the world. I don't know, but the Lord's speaking to you, and the Lord's got something for you to do somewhere. So take an inventory of that and take an inventory of the opportunities within that. My family, one of those for me is mornings. And I just really would rather not speak to anyone. I can do something with that 2 minutes. That means something. I'm going to try. I'm probably going to fail like 98% of the time this week. But I'm going to try. And you can ask me about it next week. And last thing is use what you have. I have 2 minutes alone with two precious girls every morning. I don't need a website for that. I don't need a bumper sticker for that. I don't need a slogan for that. I don't need a degree for that. I don't need to read a book to know how to be nice and encouraging to two little girls in the morning. I don't need anything. In fact, Jesus said, don't think you have to put on a fundraising campaign before you start. You don't need your 501c3. You don't need a lot of equipment. You are the equipment. Say, I am the equipment. I'd really rather wait on, like, to have a board of directors or something. I'd really wait till I have a good website. You have all you need. You are the equipment, and all you need to keep that going is 3 meals a day, which you're going to give yourself anyway. Use what you have. So as you go through your little chart, and the Lord speaks to you about your opportunities, take an inventory of what you already have. It can be simple things. We have a house. I'm so grateful for it. We throw parties. The Lord does the craziest things that people get jobs at these parties. It's just crazy, these things that happen. It's just like natural. Like, we should have a party. Let's have a party. And things happen. What do you already have? You have a phone. You have a house. You have a car. Do you sing? Play an instrument? Do you dance? You have a job? Who listens to you already? Who has to listen to you already? Start there. Everybody's got somebody that has to listen to them. Build the kingdom with your words. You got employees? You got coworkers? Use it. Leverage it. Start there. Because there ain't no telling where the Lord's going to take it. This is a really great time to talk about those things. Talk about the opportunities. Trust each other a little bit. Say, this is an opportunity. I know the Lord's been saying I need to do this thing. I just hadn't. Can you help me? Can you keep me accountable? Can we talk about it? You are the equipment. I'm the equipment. So pray about it. Do it. Seek the Lord. Lord, sometimes it feels like we don't have much. Sometimes it feels like we don't have anything to offer, but we have whatever we're carrying, whatever we have standing at this point in this place, you still want to use it. If we have a thought in our brain, you want to use it. If we have a word of encouragement, you want to use it. If we have a job, you want to use it. If we have a family, you want to use it. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts. Speak to our hearts, the things that you are doing, that we can join you in. I thank you for the kingdom that you're building. I thank you for the really cool ways that you're building it with this group of people. I pray that you would just affirm to our hearts at every turn this week that we belong in your house. That we are welcome in your house. That this is our house. You're our parent. You're our home. And we're loved, and we're accepted to do this work that you're doing. We love you, and we thank you, and we glorify you. Praise the Lord.